Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, would you please bless us from your word this evening, Lord? I feel overwhelmed or just not underqualified, Lord, to bring the riches from your word, Lord. But we know that you have given us this word. You do not have to do that, Lord, but you have. So we ask that you would open it now to us and feed us from it. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. The Lord must delight in using broken vessels. Brother John was not feeling very well at all last week. Nathan's not doing too hot, and my throat hurts. That last song we sang has a verse that says, "He is." What's the first one? Yeah, He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord of all the universe. All praise to Him we give. I hope that what we cover this evening will highlight His lordship or His authority for what He has done. I want to read from Samuel chapter 17. And because of time's sake, I want to kind of paraphrase the beginning of this chapter, and then we're going to jump in. This is a familiar story of David and Goliath. And the chapter starts with the armies of the Israelites and the armies of the Philistines being set in battle array. And they seem to be at a standoff, which tells me maybe that one didn't have an obvious upper hand over the other. They're set in battle array, one on one side of a mountain and one on the other, and there was a valley between them. And the Philistines sent out their champion. They were going to set up this a trial by combat to decide who the victor is. So instead of saying, hey, we have all these people here, instead of all our armies fighting, we'll send out a champion and you send out your champion. And if our champion wins, we win. And if yours wins, y'all win, you know, and y'all will become our slaves, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a mighty description there of their champion, the giant from Gath named Goliath, that we might circle back to. But Goliath comes out and begins to taunt the children of God, the Israelites. Goliath, as you know, is a pretty big guy. No doubt bigger than most people he knew, maybe except for some of the other giants. But Goliath has a lot of confidence. He has a lot of pride. He has a lot of great equipment, an armor bearer, and he's pretty big. He's pretty confident, and you can see this in his arrogance towards the children of Israel. One of Goliath's problems is Goliath didn't know who he was fighting, truly. And so we'll get to that in a second. So I need to finish this recap so we can read this passage here. But Goliath comes out for 40 days to taunt the children of Israel in the morning and in the evening. This has been going on for a while. So David is sent by his father. His three oldest sons they're already at the battle. They're soldiers in the Israelite army. And David is sent over there to get news and to bring some victuals and such. And so we're going to jump in at verse, let's see, I guess we'll jump in at verse 25. So as David is there in the trenches talking with some of the men, Goliath comes out to do his taunting, as he has done now for a while. And the men of Israel said, this is in verse 25, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be..." Oh, no, yeah, okay, we'll start here. "That the one who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." That's tax-free. "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, what we said before, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Turn down a little bit to verse 30. And he turned from him towards another and spake. His brother David shows up to the camp. Goliath comes out. And Goliath's like, did y'all just hear what he said? Why is he still doing this? You know, who is this guy that he can talk to the army, that he can talk to the children of God this way? And his brother kind of talks him down. It says, I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart. He says, whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? David had a different idea of what he was doing. You can see later when he describes to Saul his resume of his work. David says, verse 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard. I just noticed something here. Oh, that's pretty cool. We'll circle back to that as well. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. He also armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. I guess that's where mom gets that word, ruddy, from. She said, I was a ruddy little baby. She said, Noah was ruddy too. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, come unto me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give it to the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the earth, the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Smack talkers, take some note. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, didn't seem to shake Goliath. When the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine.
And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and he slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaarim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. What a story. I want to look at a few things with a highlighter and hit with a highlighter, and then I want to talk a little bit about the glorious types we see in this passage. The first thing I noted where we jumped in is David would not stand for this blaspheming against his God. Now this David shows up, and David, I hope you see in this passage David's faith. It says before that the men who were recommending David to Saul to play, they said that the Lord is with him. And you'll see that throughout this passage. David has a total faith in God throughout this passage. Maybe you can call it a righteous indignation. I don't know. I think we need a little dose of that in our life. There's a lot of blasphemy against God, and that should stir us up. Stir us up in the right way to do something about it. Stir us up to stand up for the name of the Lord. The next thing I see in verse 34, this is, and David said unto Saul, he starts to describe his resume, if you will, about his confidence in fighting Goliath because of what's happened to him. David trusts the Lord to continue the blessings based on past experiences. David says, hey, this is my testimony. God has helped me in these battles. God is with me. And because God is with me, I have no reason to expect God will not continue to be with me. Child of grace, I'm telling you, we know God's nature in finishing the things that He started. And you can look back on past blessings that God has blessed you with and take heart for future trials. And you can say, the Lord has been totally faithful, and I can fully count on Him to continue to be faithful. How about verse 38, a little ways down? Okay, first let's just touch on this a little bit. This is about the armor, and because this is a very, very familiar passage in the Bible, I think often we can get our pictures of this from like the children's books. David did not use Saul's armor because he had not tested it, not because it was too big for him. He's described in the previous chapter as a man of war, prudent in matters and comely in person. He's a mighty, valiant man. So Saul didn't, for some odd reason, try and put his armor on a boy like the size of Elijah, and it didn't fit. But David says, no, I'm not going to wear it because I haven't proved it. And David goes for a non-conventional weapon, but it's the weapon that he knows. It's his weapon. This stood out to me because God calls us to things in His kingdom, but God is going to use us with the gifts that we have or the means that we have. So God may call you to something and you say, well, I'm just not worthy. I'm not like so-and-so. Well, guess what? God can use you exactly where you are. David didn't have the experience with the armor and the sword. I think another thing we see here is God uses unconventional means to get glory for His name. A quick note on this, as I was thinking about this, I think about this highlights, how this highlights David's faith. David accredits his victory over Goliath to the Lord.
David is going into battle on faith. And so often we put God in a box. We want it one way or the other. We say, well, if I'm going in by faith, I'm going to go out there and I'm going by faith. So I'm going to go out there and pray Goliath to death because I'm doing it by faith, right?
Well, no. David does some planning. He goes out into the brook. He picks five fine pieces of artillery, which obviously represent the... Oh, never mind.
And so we say, aha, see, David isn't walking by faith. David is counting in his own means. He's going out there and he's got to get some stones. Because, well, no, he's not doing that. He's doing it by faith. Oh, well, he's going to go out there. Well, see, it's not one or the other. It's both. It's both because it's kind of, we walk by faith. We walk by faith. It requires action on our part, but the action is understanding that the strength we have to fulfill that action is strength that we get from God, if that makes sense. So David is walking by faith, but David is out there getting some stones so that he can trust in the Lord by faith, if that makes sense. Okay, Goliath. Goliath didn't know who he was fighting. Goliath thought he was fighting a small boy. So David gets his artillery and his means for launching said artillery, and he comes out into the valley. Remember, God has literally set the stage. It's like an auditorium. You have a mountain on one side, a mountain on the other. Think of the perspective that these armies must have had looking down to the valley. I don't know how far it was, but probably out of arrow or slingshot, but let's say they could just see what's going on. So here comes the two champions. They're approaching each other. And Goliath is a little bit upset. He says, are you kidding me? You're the one that they send out to fight me? Goliath is he has no idea who he's fighting. He has no idea who's he's defiled. He thinks this is going to be an easy victory over David. David cannot get to Goliath fast enough. David runs at Goliath. I heard a pastor say, we look at Goliath and we say, he's too big to fight. David said, he's too big to miss. I mean, have you seen the size of this guy? I mean, anybody can hit him. This is an example of what happens when we do not trust in ourselves. I mean, how in the world could David go out? He'd be crazy to go out there. It doesn't make any sense. We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, and we see things clearly in the New Testament. And sometimes the opposite is true. Sometimes we go back and we read the Old Testament, and it lays out this picture in crystal clear clarity for us too. So David slings a stone and smites Goliath, and Goliath and he kills Goliath. So what does this have to do with us? David is a giant killer. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. What's really exciting about this is you are also a giant slayer. You're called to be a giant slayer. Actually, before we go to Numbers, go to Genesis chapter 3. God set this up from the very, very beginning. The serpent said, he lays this out in 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. From the very beginning, man, the son of woman, is called out to being that which bruises the head of the serpent. Look at Numbers chapter 11. No, sorry, Numbers 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, so the children of Israel has come out of Egypt. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. I'm going to skip a little bit to get through this. And Moses, verse 17, and Moses picked out some men and sent them to spy out the land of Canaan.
and said unto them, how to do it. And verse 21, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, etc., etc. And then in verse 26, and they went and came. So they, verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came unto Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the men of Israel unto the wilderness of Parah, unto Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to unto all the congregation. So the spies have returned and said, we came unto the land whither thou didst sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. That checked out. And this is the fruit of it. Here's proof. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. These are the giants. And the Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and that's a lot of ites, dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coasts of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people for Moses and said, let us go up at once. Caleb's a giant slayer. Caleb is. Caleb has this spirit. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We got God on our side, right? But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Yeah, that's like David and Goliath, right? But the men, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched until the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Okay, why are we in Numbers 13? The Lord said unto Moses, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. So God gave the children of Israel this promised land of Canaan. It's flowing with milk and honey. Well, sweet! God gave this to us. Surely all that's left to do is just drag our beach chairs down to the water and maybe a fun-sized bag of chips. God gave us a land. There are giants in the land. And the children of Israel were afraid. And they did not go into the land. They didn't possess the land. I promise you, where God sends you, there's going to be giants that need to be faced in your life. This is, but God has called us to go in the Great Commission, and even not in a, I believe, in a geographical sense, but then also in a spiritual sense. Think about how God says how He has freely and richly given us all things to enjoy. There's a go out and get it. But wherever you go, there's going to be giants in your way that need to be overcome. And God has called you to do it. God's called you to be a giant slayer. This is a great calling, and you can do it through through the strength of Jesus Christ. So look at how David defeats giants. David defeats the giant that he faces, this giant of Gath, Goliath, by looking unto Jesus, the greater David. And the types are so clear in this passage. When Goliath is described, Goliath says, the description of his armor, the word armor there translates into scales. Goliath is a beast. He's covered in scales. He's over 9 feet tall. He's like a dragon. And I'm trying to find my place back in Samuel 17, sorry. Goliath is this beast. He's a dragon. And David, when he kills him, if you remember at the end, it said, David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Flip over to Luke 11. This is exactly what Jesus does. In Luke 11,
6:51. Jesus just finished casting out this devil. If Satan and so they start to accuse him of being working with the devil. It says, but some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, who shows up in the Old Testament as Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, the god of the Philistines, the god of Ekron, which is the same place that the Philistines got routed to in the passage we just read. Jesus says in verse 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he, referring to himself, when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Satan's not wearing his armor. Satan's been defeated. Just like David took Goliath's armor and put it in his tent, Jesus has done the same thing. Satan's armor is on display in Jesus' tent as a trophy. I got him. He is completely destroyed. In our own lives, when we fight giants, we look to Jesus, the greater David, who has paved that way for us. I think about the giants in my life that I'm called to fight as a husband and even more recently a father. And fighting giants of pride, of selfishness when I wake up sleepy, giants of a bad attitude, and you can think of some in your life that need to be overcome. And I look at them and I say, these are too big for me to fight alone. They're too strong. I'm not capable of doing it. Maybe you have to fight a giant of depression, giants of even duty, maybe things that you're called to do that seem to overwhelm you. And through faith, like Jesus, like David, faith gives us the boldness to run at those giants and say, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and cut your head off. Faith gives us a boldness to do these things through the strength of Jesus Christ. Think of the absolute victory that Jesus has wrought for his people. Think of how when David... Jesus is the greater David and has wrought a victory no less than what David wrought that day in that valley. Think of when those two combatants were running towards each other. You know, Jesus is our champion, and this is a perfect picture of how Jesus represents us as the second Adam. When Jesus goes out to fight for us, when Jesus goes out to fight, he's fighting for us. When Jesus wins, he wins for us, and he wins completely. Think of when Goliath was running at David, and just think for a second. All of a sudden, maybe the Philistines could see, the Philistines are probably leaning on their spear saying, get him, Goliath, you know, squash him. Take this puny guy out. Maybe some of the Israelites are saying, get him, David, get him. And then maybe some of them are saying, who's David? And why did we send this small person out there? And all of a sudden, Goliath falls down. Maybe they saw Goliath sling the stone and hit him right in the forehead, and they thought, it's completely over. You know, David, this is what I was thinking about before, he said when he slew the lion, it got back up to fight him. It said, I'm in Luke now, so I won't go back. But so maybe the Philistines thought, well, did he trip? Or maybe he'll get back up. Maybe, I don't know. It doesn't matter. What does matter is, what they did know is that when David lifted up that head, it was over, completely over. His head is cut off. This is the victory that Jesus has obtained for us. There is no question. There's no more battle to do. Jesus has cut off the head of his enemies. He is absolutely victorious, no question at all. And we are victorious in Jesus Christ. So I'm sharing, so I don't know if I can give a charge. But the charge would be, is face the giants that you have to conquer in your life head on through the strength of Jesus Christ. Not looking at David, but looking at what David was looking at.
not looking at David, but looking at the Son of David, the greater David, Jesus Christ. Jesus, our champion, Jesus, the giant killer, Jesus, the dragon slayer.